Electronic, supersonic, supersonic, electronic. Hey baby, ride with me away. We doesn't have much time. My blue jeans is tight, so onto my love rocket climb. Inside tank of fuel is not fuel, but love. Above us, there is nothing above, but the stars above.
All systems gone. Prepare for a down count.
5, 4, 3, 1, off blast.
Fly away, my space rocket. You no need put money in my pocket. The door is closed, I just lock it. I put my glow plug in your socket. Hey love crusader, I want to be your space invader.
Five, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Good morning. Good morning to everybody. 617-779-0985. And Adam 12 is calling in.
602, and someone is happy.
Yeah.
All right. Adam 12, of course, major radio personality, internet personality, all those things. Have you slept yet?
Hey guys, hey. No, I'm actually still at Connor Larkin's on Huntington Avenue right now. I've been here since about 11:30 last night, drinking beer straight out of the taps like Encino Man wheezes the juice.
Okay, now in fairness, so for people who don't realize this, you would rather go to the Bean Pot than the Super Bowl, than the Stanley Cup Final, than the NBA Championship, correct?
Rich, there was to answer your question, yes. Like it's the stupidest thing, but the bragging rights of winning the Bean Pot are like the biggest deal if you went to one of the four schools that are in it.
That's absolutely not true. Not if you went to BC or BU.
I think it's a little different when you haven't won for 30 years.
Yeah,
matters if you went to Northeastern.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, or Harvard until last year.
I mean, if you're BC and BU, this is like a cute little thing that you do until you win a national championship.
You push away the little brother, and you move on.
Yeah, and then you go, oh, that sucked that we lost that game.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah, we'll get it next year.
Yeah. Now we got to play actual school.
So this is the one year you didn't go, though. You go every year, right?
There was a stretch of about a decade where, like, my dad and I would go every year, and, like, you guys know Trisha and Courtney over at the Garden. Like, they're awesome, and they would, you know, even though, like, I'm not a quote-unquote sports guy, they'd give me, like, press passes so we could watch from the press level, which was hysterical because they'd stick us down at the end where, like, Dan Roach is covering it. And we'd be, like, cheering, and Dan Roach would be giving us, like the dagger eyes. Like,
oh, I'm sure Dan was very upset.
Press level. It's like, come on, you know? Of course, there wasn't really much to cheer for. Although there were a couple of years, like I think it was 20. So if I mess this up, someone will correct me, because I know that's what your listeners do. But I think it was, like, 2011. They went to the Beanpot Final against BC. It was, like, a double overtime. It was, like, one of the best hockey games I've ever seen in my life. But, of course, Northeastern lost. So finally, after 30 years, they win last night, and ironically, no, I wasn't in the building.
I just remember when we first came here, you telling us that the Bean Pot is the biggest thing ever, and I'm like, okay, all right. And so I remember, like, after the Bean Pot, no one talking about it. I was like, no, I think what Adam meant was it's the biggest thing ever to you.
Yes. Well, you gotta understand too, Rich, like I went to Northeastern. Like, I went there as an undergrad, like on a music scholarship,
as a trumpet player.
The trombone, Fred.
Oh, he was. Adam was on a trombone scholarship. So he was getting laid constantly.
But part of the deal was, like, I got half tuition when I was a freshman, and I had to play in the jazz band, the concert band, and the pep band. So they
all of a sudden, Wallach is getting aroused.
I had to go to the Bean Pot, and I had to play, which stunk because, of course, Northeastern got smashed, and everyone, you're sitting down there, and everybody's just, like, pointing and laughing at you. So that was kind of my initiation to the whole, yeah, but you're kind of, if you grew up around here, and you were a Red Sox fan at the time, you're kind of used to it, because it was, like, every year, it's, you know, it's like, you know, Charlie Brown kicking the football, it's getting pulled away. So it was nice to have it finally, a little bit of vindication.
Now, has Punter's Pub been smashed over yet? Like, is it still there?
You know, Rich, I don't know. Last I was down in that area was maybe 6 months ago, and it was, and I'm pretty sure it was still there. But yeah, unfortunately, it is on its way up.
Yeah, I'd heard like someone had bought it and they were going to like smash it down, and I was thinking, you know, that's the one place I was thinking about last night.
How far down on Huntington is that? Is that past the museum? Where
it's
is
right
that?
At the museum? It's across the street.
It's kind of diagonally across from the museum, John.
Okay.
It's like a block down from the Wentworth Athletic Fields there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, honestly, is this the first time you've missed the Bean Pot in a while, or has this been
yeah,
like a...
It is, I missed it the last couple of years just because scheduling wise it hasn't worked out to be able to go. But it was funny, I had a text from my dad at like, because of course I texted him like last night. He was, I'm guessing he was asleep, but I had a text from my dad like at 5:30 this morning being like, see, it was our fault, we were jinxing him all those years. So,
all right, well, I'm very upset with the Northeastern fans because I don't know if it's just that you're the most excited one, but I guess Nick went down there and the Northeastern fans weren't going that crazy from what I've been told.
Yeah, that's what he was saying, which is surprising to me because when you do go to the Bean Pot,
is it surprising because he wasn't there?
The schools has their kind of cheering section set up, spread out around the garden, and it's always the Northeast, always the Dog Pound that's just like going the craziest. Even when they're like playing, like they're getting like smoked in the consolation game, the fans are still there, kind of going nuts. So it's a bit puzzling to me that they wouldn't be going more wild, or I don't know, maybe they just went out of there quickly, like bats out of hell to get down to Connell.
I guess that Tom Caron, who does the, you know, the obviously does the play-by-play for it, if you didn't watch it, I guess him and Adam Jones got a little tweet beef last night.
Oh, did they?
Because I guess Adam Jones said something. Oh, here it is. So Adam Jones tweeted, agree with Tom Caron, 2018 Northeastern hockey is greater than the 2004 Red Sox. And Tom Caron just retweeted and went, huh? And he put, did you really say that? Because I certainly did it. Thanks for listening. And I actually heard the end of it. And he did somewhat compare it. He did like so this whole now I can die in peace. And there was someone who had a son that said, now I can graduate in peace. And he goes, well, there are some similarities between this and the 2004 Red Sox. I just like the fact that Caron just got all ticked that Adam Jones was trying to call him out for his excitement about enthusiasm about the win last
night. Jones could barely contain himself in the end of his program yesterday. He was very excited.
How did you guys all hear this?
On the podcast on the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app is what I need to do, John.
I like that. I like that, Adam 12.
Well, Adam 12, thank you so much. You told me you were... we appreciate the time, sir.
Are you going to get some sleep now? Is it finally time to sleep?
No, just real quick, the irony is that it would have been awesome if this happened like 20 years ago. Because, like, that's when Northeastern was, like, a true underdog school. Like, now Northeastern, like, it costs the same as BU and BC. Like, it's the same prestige as BU and BC. And Northeastern was always kind of like the step kid, like the commuter school. So it's kind of like the irony of it is it's like, yeah, it's good they went after all these years, but it's not like they were even the underdog anymore. Like, they were clearly the best team going into the tournament, and the best team won, so...
Whoop-de-doo. All right, well, Adam, there you go.
It was funny, though, because there's if you saw any of the crowd yesterday after they won, Nesson had a very unfortunate scene where they were scanning over the crowd, and one dude just, like, trips and falls down about four rows and knocks over the four people in front of him.
I don't think Nick went, because we sent him to get audio, because him and Bird are supposed to divvy up games. And tonight, someone's going to the Bruins game.
It looked like a party. I mean, last night, it looked like the Northeastern people were going absolutely
nuts.
Yeah,
it's been 30 years. I don't think Nick went. Because Nick reported to Rich that there was no one worth talking to.
Oh, no, no. And that the people that were wouldn't do it for the radio.
So you're telling me that for 11 and a half years, people at all kinds of events, concerts, marches, parades... sporting events have always agreed to talk, but the college kids wouldn't.
Listen, I'm not gonna say he's a liar. I believe him. If he tells me one thing, I believe him. And there are some times where people say no. It is weird though, because when you saw the crowd, it looked like people were losing their minds so much that they were falling over each other that I thought
if people are falling over each other in the stands, A, they're certainly not gonna have a problem agreeing to be on the radio. And B, what do you think? They're just going to then calmly like get up and go to their cars and ride home or get on the train?
Interesting question, though. Do they, because it's essentially a college athletics event, do they serve beer there? I don't think they serve beer at the Bean Pot, do they?
Well, first of all...
Not that matters, because, I mean, that's not really the reason we wanted to interview people down there, but I mean...
They didn't have to be drunk, but first of all, if they don't serve beer, I don't think that's going to stop those kids from drinking in the stands.
Oh, sure.
I mean, that's number one.
I mean, yeah, without a doubt.
So I don't buy, just because they don't serve beer, I'm not buying that they weren't all getting wasted at that game.
No. I mean, that's true.
Yeah, so, all right, Nick, yes, explain yourself.
There's proof that I was down there. I was tweeting photos from the TD Garden at like 10 o'clock.
All right, so no one would talk to you?
Yes. So every time I went to talk to somebody that could be good for the radio, they said no.
Kids.
Yes.
I mean, it does happen sometimes. Take it from a guy who's done it before and gone down to games and just sometimes people just don't want to talk.
Sometimes some people, not everybody.
Yeah, I mean, there's been times where I've gone down for hours and gotten nothing. And I've tried
really
hard.
But people have said just, you got no one to agree to be recorded.
Or if they did, they were just bad.
No, I understand
unusable.
That.
Yeah.
No, that happens all the time.
Yeah.
But you've gone down and like literally no one would talk to you?
I'm sure that's happened. I'm sure that's happened before where the people that I've approached were like, no, it's okay. Like, they just weren't feeling it. And that happens every once in a blue moon. So I'm not gonna doubt Nick. It just seemed like a time where people would be losing their minds. And maybe it's just because I follow a lot of people on Twitter who went to Northeastern, I guess. It's amazing how when the Beanpot comes, everyone's real proud of where they went to school. But on TV, it looked like a fun place to be. Like, if you were a college student, that looked like a fun place to be last night.
All right, you going to the Bruins game tonight, Nicholas?
Yes, or me, or Bird's going.
And, have you discussed this?
Yeah. So, okay. Rich, Bird, and I were talking via group text. So.
Okay. So, who do you think's going?
I think it's going to be Bird tonight, and then me tomorrow night.
Okay. Very good.
All right. Excellent.
Cool.
That happens sometimes.
I've seen that look.
Yeah, I mean, that, it does happen.
Before we got in the air, Rich was not happy with Nick. I can tell you that.
I told you exactly what happened.
You seemed disappointed.
Well, I mean, of course I was disappointed. I wanted audio, but I also, at the same time, didn't call out Nick for doing anything wrong.
Because
I've been there.
No.
I have been there before. I have been to the point, because if what he said is 100% true, I've been there where I've come in and been like, it just didn't work out. I just didn't get audio.
That I know. That happens, and I never give in. Well, it shouldn't happen that often, but the idea that no one would talk is a little odd.
They serve beer at UMass Lowell hockey games, someone's saying. Well, They serve beer at BC's?
At BU.
Oh, at BU?
Yeah.
Okay.
And now they're serving at BC. Now they serve at BC basketball and BC and BC hockey.
I think the bean pot might be alcohol free. I could be wrong, but I think I'd heard that somewhere. I've never been to a bean pot before.
It's been at least 10 years since I've been.
No, I have absolutely no interest in going to the bean pot.
I think Karen does a good job, by the way.
Yes.
Like I think he's an all right fill in.
Well, he does. I know when Dave O'Brien is somewhere else for Nesson, Karen fills in. He did a bunch of Red Sox spring training games. I think he did a few Red Sox regular season games last year too.
Sure. All right. So. Here's the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer, brought to you by Wilson Farm. Boomer says the hypocrisy of some Olympic rules is enough to drive you crazy. They do serve beer, according to Adam 12. He's texting me.
Very good.
All right. Here you go.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Classic street ball tournament in Harlem.
Harlem.
Dax has dealt a series of unfortunate setbacks, including losing his team to longtime rival Nick Kroll. Desperate to win the tournament and cash the prize, Dax stumbles upon the man, the myth, the legend, Uncle Drew, played by NBA All-Star Kyrie Irving, and convinces him to return to the court one more time. The two men embark on a road trip to round up Drew's old basketball squad, played by Shaquille O'Neal, Chris Webber, Reggie Miller. How about Nate Robinson getting thrown into the mix? And Lisa Leslie.
Well, you need a short, funny guy.
I guess so.
He's in a wheelchair in this one.
Oh, he is?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, is he? And prove that a group of septuagenarians, is that right, can still win the big one after a successful 5 years as a fan-favorite digital episodic series.
Which I've never heard of in my entire life.
I've seen it. Originally, there was a Pepsi commercial that this was based on.
Don't remember.
It's going to hit theaters in June.
Now, when they say hit theaters, I mean, are they saying that this is going to be a widely released film? Because I can't for the life of me believe that.
Yeah, it will be. And I have a feeling that it's going to be advertised heavily during the finals. During the NBA playoffs.
I bet you anything that it's not a real movie.
No, I believe it is. And the reason is that I got a press release yesterday. That's why I actually put those pictures up on our Twitter account.
Ah.
Is they released a full-on press release. Now,
will they change it
the last minute? Who knows?
I think that they would give a press release even for a movie that's... I mean, they do press releases straight for video movies.
I think their intention is to release it in the theaters.
Well, their intention is not a good one. Their intention, let's put it this way, when she, first of all, no one knows who Kyrie Irving is outside of basketball fans. So that's number one.
A lot of people.
Well, yeah, but that not enough to carry a major motion picture. Kyrie Irving? Are you joking? Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, you say, is he a movie star? No, but I mean, people know who he is.
No, I don't think so. So, and also, when Shaquille O'Neal was at the height of his powers, he did movies that no one saw. I don't think Shazam was a big hit.
Of course it was. Everyone knows Shazam.
Steel? What was the other? It was Steel?
Was it Shazam or Kazam?
Whatever the hell it was.
No, it was Kazam.
Okay, right.
It was Kazam.
It was Kazam.
It's
you're right.
Shazam-y, it was Kazam-y. Yeah. Look at me. There was that. He was in a bunch
Steel,
of movies.
Steel, three or four, really bad
movies. He was in one excellent movie, and that was Blue Chips.
Yes,
Blue
I
Chips
agree with that.
It was great.
Yeah, but that wasn't... We'll disagree on if that was a great movie or not. Is that the one where Ray Allen?
Nick Nolte's
the head coach.
That's He Got Game. That's the one you're thinking of.
All right. So, just because he was in that scene with Chasey Lane and Joe Kelly.
Yep.
But I will tell you this, is that if Shaquille O'Neal at the height of his powers could not get a movie together, you're telling me that a movie with Nate Robinson, Reggie Miller, Kyrie Irving... That people are going to go, oh, yeah.
Don't forget Shaq. That's going to carry it.
It's not going to do well.
48-year-old Shaq.
It's not going to do well. You know what they should do? And I'm being serious. If they want to make money, they should have sold it to Netflix. Because Netflix has kind of become this place where movies that aren't very good get released and they get huge buzz. Like, apparently the Cloverfield Project. I like the first two Cloverfield movies.
That was the second one?
Oh, the one with John Goodman? It was excellent.
Okay.
The one where the girl is trapped in the bunker, and she doesn't know whether or not this guy's crazy who's holding her because he says aliens are attacking
the Earth.
I
remember the first one. Oh, I don't remember the second one.
The second one is legitimately is excellent. That's really good. So they released this Cloverfield Paradox. You saw the ad during the Super Bowl, and I guess it's diarrhea. The movie is, I got 14% positive, and I think the studio, when they made it, said, whoa, this is going to be a write-off. This thing has really turned out to be awful. But what they did is they were wise. They went to Netflix, and apparently Netflix paid them $50 million and made a big Super Bowl commercial out of it and said, look at how great this film is going to be. And all of a sudden, people are watching it, and Netflix is getting a ton of buzz, even though it's garbage.
Well, Netflix,
I think they did that with that movie Bright with Will Smith as well.
Netflix will buy anything right now. I would contend Kyrie Irving is not a top 10 well-known basketball player.
Well, I mean, he was on NBA, whatever, 2K18, so that immediately gets
cover.
Into the,
yeah.
That doesn't make him someone who can carry a movie.
Listen, movie's different, but you said is he someone people know?
Yes. But to sell a movie.
Oh, well, what NBA star other than LeBron James and maybe Kevin Durant?
Fair.
Can sell a movie.
Kevin Durant, by the way, is a star or in a movie.
Thunderstruck.
Yeah.
Thunderstruck!
Which, of course, was a straight-to-video film. But honestly, other than LeBron James...
It doesn't matter. Okay, so that's my point.
Yeah, it's not going to do well.
Yeah, say no one can. But what I'm saying is that no one knows who Kyrie Irving is, let alone wants to see a movie. How is this happening?
That's different. It's like Prince was in Under the Cherry Moon. Everyone knew who Prince was, but nobody saw that movie.
No, of course. Tom Cruise was in The Mummy, and no one saw it. This, though, is a special kind of stupid. Like, who goes, you know what? Let's take a guy that's, sports fans know. And, but probably 75% of the population is never heard of.
It's based on a commercial.
That's based on a commercial that I don't recall. And I will have to watch all these games, or at least some of them, and pop him in and turn it. And then let's get Reggie Miller, who's, of course, on the tip of everyone's tongue. And I love Nick Kroll. But I have a feeling this is Nick Kroll. He's a big basketball fan. I have a feeling this was just like, oh, cool, I get to hang out with these NBA guys.
You might be right.
No, I bet you anything I'm right. And I bet you anything that he spent not more than a day shooting this thing.
Well, also, Nick Kroll can't be too choosy with the amount of projects that are coming his way that go to the big screen. I mean, if Lionsgate came to me and said, we're going to pay you a decent amount of money for a little bit of work and you're going to get, you know, on posters, then you'd be like, okay, fine.
No, Nick Kroll, he was in the Emoji Movie. He was in Sausage Party.
You're proving my point.
No, Emoji Movie was supposed to be a big movie. He was in Sausage Party. He's been in movies. He's someone who could be in. He has his own show on Netflix. I mean, he's a guy that could be. He couldn't be a star of any kind of big movie, but he's a guy. I'm sure if you went over his IMDb, he's been in big movies.
Yeah. No, this film's not going to do well. It's not going to do well.
It can't be released in theaters. It can't be.
It says in theaters June 29th. Like, they're planning on releasing it in theaters. And you know what? There's going to be a huge push during the playoffs. I guarantee it.
I don't know how much
money. That's why they're releasing it they're releasing on June 29th. And that's the reason. Right after the finals.
The Room came out in theaters.
I said it's not going to do well.
It is going to
be released in theaters.
It doesn't mean I can go to a movie theater in my town and go see it.
Oh, you'll be able to go to the Boston Common AMC and see that. Like, when it comes out, it'll be out for a weekend, and then by the second week, it'll be out of the theater. I guarantee you.
What maniac puts this thing out?
I don't know. Lionsgate. And it was probably made for a dollar. I mean, how much money do you think it actually cost to film this movie?
Then you release it on DVD. It costs a lot of money to get a movie into theaters. Haji-machi.
Yeah, this would have been a perfect Netflix film. And I don't know why they decided to do it this way, but you're right. I mean, I don't think it's the best thing for your budget. Netflix, it's great. You know that movie, speaking of Netflix, how they're just handing out cash? So Scorsese is getting De Niro and Joe Pesci back to do a film together called The Irishman. And Netflix said, we want to do it, because he was going to release it, you know, as a big movie. But Netflix said, we want this movie and we're going to pay you. You know what the budget on that movie is already? And it keeps going up. $140 million, and Netflix just continues to pay them.
Well, they're going to be able to, if they can somehow get their hands on this dumbass Kyrie Irving movie, they can live. I just am fascinated with the executives. Just fascinated. Just absolutely, it's stunning to me what these idiots do.
Well, then there's like big budget movies that you're like, how did this get? Like Geostorm? Have you seen the preview for Geostorm? It's like, this doesn't look like a real movie. This looks like something at the beginning of Tropic Thunder when they throw like the fake previews. The Earth is collapsing on itself and only Gerard Butler can stop it. I mean, who keeps sinking cash into films like this? Nobody wants to see that unless The Rock is in it.
Celtics fans aren't going to see this movie. No one's going. Why would, even if you're a Celtics fan, why would you want to go see Kyrie Irving in some dumb movie? I mean, who's going to go? Like, you know what? Let's go out tonight. And of all the things we can do in the world, let's dump our money into garbage.
Let's see what the director has done. Because let's see what kind of projects he's been involved in. Charles Stone III, he's directed, it looks like, a Nick Cannon video. He did a movie called Stepsisters, or that's coming out. Oh, Drumline. He did Drumline. And Mr. 3000 with Bernie Mac. Mr. 3000 was okay.
Well, there seems to be a lot of lapses in this career.
Nick Cannon was in Drumline.
Yeah. That's right. He's probably like best friends with Nick Cannon.
Cannon's probably the producer.
There seems to be like 8-year gaps in this guy's resume.
Crazy, Sexy, Cool, the TLC story, the TV movie.
Oh, that sounds like that might have been on VH1.
Yeah, it could have been. It could have been.
All right. Well, get to Netflix today, because they'll buy whatever the hell you're selling.
That is the truth.
And if this movie is a wide release film, this Kyrie Irving movie. You know, they used to tell people you'll never make it in Hollywood. You got a 1 in a million shot. Now you got about a 2 out of 3 shot to make it in Hollywood if this thing goes wide. We will return. Here are the headlines.
Stay tuned. More Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Be listening this morning. Let's say 6:55 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see the Bruins battle the Hurricanes. Tuesday, February 27th at the Garden. So I've only been to one Bruins game this year.
Me too. Yeah, I need to be getting to more. I've only gone to one. I've been to about three Celtics games and one Bruins.
The older I get, the more this going into the city and not coming home until a certain, drinking and then not coming home until a certain time. Just like it seems like this daunting task. It just, but you know, when we started doing mornings, what, 10 years ago, I just would go all the time. Didn't bother me. I'd go with Rucker. I went with Rucker like every other week.
I don't mind that lack of sleep buzz where you got a little bit of alcohol in your system. I don't mind that in the morning. Like, that was fine. I could do that for a while, but then, you know, time catches up on
See,
you.
See, the show's not that difficult to do because you have all that adrenaline.
Yeah, right.
But as soon as, like, the minute the show ends.
It's like that scene in the Wolf of Wall Street when the pills kick in.
Yeah, it hits you. And then for me, all of a sudden, I'm like, wow, I have a lot of anxiety. like all this, like, I'm super tired. I got a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
And then I go home, and what sucks is then I'll go home, and I'm so tired that I can't sleep. Like, I'm overtired. So I just lay in bed and then start freaking out that I can't go to sleep, and then the whole day is misery.
And then it's you're wrecked. Then you're wrecked for the day.
Yeah. So that's... That's what happens when you're 43 years old. And then what's worse is then, like, okay, so say that would happen. Say that's been happening for like 3 years. Now it's the anticipation of it. Like, I know, like, a week out, I'm going to a Bruins game a week from Wednesday. Like, Thursday's going to be.
You're thinking about it?
Yeah, Thursday I'm going to freak out, and I'm not going to be able to sleep.
Well, then, just ride the bull. Just go out there and try it. Just mind over matter.
I still do it.
That's right.
I mean, but it's not easy.
Real quick, right before we got on the air, I just put on our Toucher and Rich Twitter account, would you pay to see Kyrie Irving's Uncle Drew movie in the theater? And just since we've been on, we got like almost 200 votes, and 77% say no way, 23% say of course, and someone put a comment underneath it, a 90-minute Pepsi commercial, no thanks. Now, who knows if that's what it would end up being, but all I know is that it's right now, it seems to be pretty certain that it's not probably not going to do that well.
So you're saying that you were not a fan of Goldmember, which was a, remember our Goldmember, the last Austin Powers movie?
Yeah.
Where it was just a Heineken commercial, basically, the whole thing.
But didn't they joke about it? Wasn't
but
kind
it's
of
still
joking?
A Heineken commercial. Yeah, I mean, sure. You can joke about it all you want.
But there was funny stuff in Goldmember, though. I mean, that went along with it. I mean,
oh, listen, my kids and I watched Austin Powers, the first two Austin Powers movies of late, and they're fantastic. I love them. And I liked Goldmember okay, too. But, I mean, it gets to be a little egregious. Even It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia... is the first couple seasons. I know why they did it, and I can't blame them. And it really doesn't affect anything because they don't talk about it. But there's Coors Light in every single scene. Like, and then you're like, wait a second. But again, they don't talk about it. And
right.
I certainly know why they did it, is that it was a bunch of nobodies doing a big TV show. So
sure.
I'm sure they said.
You need money however you
can
get it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't blame them at all for doing it. So, yeah. But there you go.
All right. Well, on the heels of Lane Johnson saying that the Patriots organization is a fear-based one, whereas the Eagles are super cool and more fun than a birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese, Teddy Bruschi responded to Lane yesterday and to his comments that Lane would rather have fun than win a Super Bowl and be miserable and win five Super Bowls. Here is Teddy Bruschi.
Lane Johnson, I don't know what he's talking about. I had a lot of fun. There were so many times that we would speak out in meetings. The entire team meeting would erupt in laughter. We're playing music on the team plane. We had so much fun. In the ones that I was there, I cannot understand what he's saying there. If you want a relationship and you want a double date with your coach, I mean, go play with those guys. Go ahead.
That's but a good line.
If you want to learn how to win games and consistently win games throughout your career, you play for Bill Belichick. Here's a problem. The game's over. Why are you bringing up the Patriots when all you should be talking about is the celebration of your championship, the celebration of everything that you did? Congratulations to the Philadelphia Eagles. You are world champions, but now we're talking about the Patriots. And I'm here because I'm a Patriot, and I'm talking to you about how we did have fun because he's talking about this is the way I want to win it.
And then Teddy Bruschi looked him right in the face and said...
A modern day warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride. Though his mind is not for rent, don't put him down as arrogant. his reserve a quiet defense, riding out the day's events.
That's the very first one, right?
That was the first one.
That was Getty Brewski.
Yeah.
I wonder if we should have Troy Brown do one.
Why not?
What would we do? Troy Brown.
Dan suggests Troy Bobby Brown.
Oh, that's pretty good. I like that.
But just all Bobby Brown
songs?
Yeah,
you can't do that. Well, you could do New Edition.
Sure. Have him do Mr. Telephone Man.
Troy bands.
Yeah, Troy rhymes with...
We'll figure it out.
Backstreet Troys.
We've done a bunch of boys band stuff. So, yeah. By the way, after that segment, Lane Johnson tweeted out this. He's put, quote, "Once a company man, always a company man, Teddy." And then he later went on to say this.
Oh, no, the people in Boston are too happy about it. And, I mean, to be honest, I could care less. They have no clue what was, you know, before the game, all the arrogance, they have no clue, so... There's a lot going into that.
Yowzers. Nothing like someone who wins once and starts telling the world the secrets to success. I truly appreciate that.
But in, I don't.
Where's the arrogance, by the way?
What, the arrogance of the fan base?
No, of the Patriots.
Oh, there's arrogance.
They've kept their lips. They pretty much.
Maybe he's talking about on the field before the game,
or
something like that.
Maybe he's just talking about the culture around the team. But in fairness to the Lane Johnson.
He is an offensive lineman.
Yeah, well, he says something. It's true. Yeah. But he says something and everyone starts running with it. If you really, he's an offensive lineman for the Eagles. I don't know why anyone would care.
Well, this is great because one member of the current, do you want to talk about people who care? One member of the current Patriots squad who is not very happy with people in the Boston media is Marquise Flowers.
Yes, I saw that.
He went after our own Greg Bedard for an article he wrote in the Boston Sports Journal. In Greg's article, he wrote about how Marquise's role in the game was one of the biggest reasons that the defense struggled so much last Sunday. Copying that article on Twitter, Marquise wrote, "So you got all the answers? More than Coach Belichick that has been to more Super Bowls than you have been with women?" Well, Bill Belichick's been to 11 Super Bowls. If you want to be real about it, I bet 80% of men have been with less women than Bill Belichick has been to Super Bowls. Maybe even 90%.
How many women have you been with, John? Rich has been with one.
Yeah, so by the way, 11 women, that's 10 more than I've been with. So
have you? You've
more,
been
more or less than 11?
More.
Yeah. Whoa, look at Wallace.
More.
Really?
Me. More.
Yeah, same with me.
But I would bet.
Not
like 30 or 40, but more.
Yeah, more than 11, certainly.
But wouldn't you agree, though, that about 80% of the male population has probably been with less than 11 women?
I'd say it would be like 50%.
Oh, I don't know about that. There's a large population of gumps who like just don't sleep with women.
Yeah,
just,
but
like,
then
like one
got,
or two, maybe.
But if you're going... Okay.
And then there's just people...
I'm trying to think of my friends.
Okay, so think of like, okay, what if you were in college? Yeah, I mean, let's say you went crazy in college. 6-7 women, maybe?
No. If you went to a big school, you could get laid 30 times, 30 different girls. Yeah.
Hobart College, population 1,800.
Yeah, Rollins, population 2,000.
All right. You see, you're picking up what we're putting down here?
I dated a girl for a year and a half in college.
Well, that's the thing, is that there's also, you have to take off the table people who dated someone for a long period of time. I mean, that's just one woman for that time.
No, it's...
11 is a lot.
All right.
For him to, like, insult somebody?
617-779-0985.
You can be anonymous if you want to, but fair enough.
What percentage of people has slept with less than 11 women? I'm going to say 50%.
Is this another Twitter poll? Should we do two in 5 minutes?
Five calls says it all. You want to do that?
No.
Well, then you're just going to have dudes bragging.
No, I want to take phone calls. 617-779-0985. Because I'm thinking of my friends.
I'm thinking of my friends. And listen, my
best
friend, studs.
My best friend did not. But I have a friend who's probably slept with 200 girls because he's 42. He's 42 and never been married.
I have a friend who's like that too, who might even be a triple digit.
200?
Like, I mean, he's like, I have a guy who's my, and he's really like fit, good looking, and that dude just went crazy.
No, I'll tell you this is one, if you're just like a guy and you have a job that's like okay, like you can, my friend was telling me, he's like, you can, and I know what he's talking about, is that like if you take like a 25 year old girl out to like a dinner, like,
Just one where you have like a reservation.
Right. Like,
yeah.
Like, they're like, holy S, like, wow. Like, you know, and now there's Tinder and everything.
Well, then there's also the single woman like in her like 30s, even early 40s, if you find another single guy, you're just looking for to have like a good time.
Right.
Sometimes.
Like, yeah. And
right.
If you go out after a certain age, like you're getting laid. I mean, if you take, and even when I was single, if you went out with a girl, not necessarily one time, but if you went out with them like three times, chances are you're going to have sex.
It just seems that if you think of like all of America and all guys,
right.
11's a lot.
See, I thinking about it now, I don't think so, but then again, I've been married for 11
years. 200 though, Fred? 200? You have a friend who's slept with over 200 women?
Oh, yeah. But he's 40. He's 42.
That's like my friend, and I bet he's wow. close to 100.
And he's not like a Casanova, but you, yeah. It's a numbers game. Say, okay, so there's 52 weeks in the year. 12 months in the year. Say he gets laid 12 times a year, 12 different chicks a year. I mean, and he's 42. He's been having sex since he was 15.
Yeah, I have a friend of mine who's 45 who was really going after it in the 90s, and he included women that he paid for too, and he still barely made 100.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. But I mean, 42 years old, he's banged at least 12 girls a year for that time. He's been having sex for almost 20 years.
We're getting suggestions on Troy Brown. I'm sorry, I got distracted. Troy George. Troy Orbison. And then how about for Troy Brown, the insane Brown posse?
Okay, you can't do that.
But Troy does all the insane clown posse songs.
I like Troy.
Troy Orbison.
No, you can't. No. I like the first
That's
one.
Not fair.
Well, what Troy was the Orbison. First one?
Troy George, where it's all like Boy George songs or 80s?
All right. Nick, no, you could just do Culture Club.
Are there that many?
What's funnier, Culture Club or the last
or
one?
What if it's just like 80s mod rock songs? Like, I mean, like Culture Club type stuff. Like, I mean, he does, you know, The Cutting Crew, I Just Died in Your Arms Tonight.
Okay.
Okay, that's good. On me. I like that.
Flock of Seagulls.
Perfect.
I know it's not the A's, but I just wanted him to do The King of Wishful Thinking.
Okay, go west, baby. I like it.
It's random.
Dude, go west.
All right, Nick. I need you to get on these. Like, yeah. I need you to just get the choruses ready. Okay, just can you do that for me? Can you get those ready?
All right. if you'll even go in it. There and tell them what songs you want. All right, we'll be right back. Sports Hub, we're Touch for Rich, caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see the Bruins battle the Carolina Hurricanes. Tuesday, February 27th at the TD Garden.
I just tweeted out. I had to find out. I put Marquise Flowers ripped on Greg Bedard, saying that he's been with less women than Bill Belichick has been to Super Bowls. I contend that the majority of men have slept with less than 11 women. I have, and the two choices were slept with less than 11 and slept with more. 58% have slept with less than 11. That is less than I thought it was going to be.
I said about 50%.
Yeah, with about 200 votes in. So, you see, I thought it would be more than that.
From Kennesaw where people get either... You're from Kennesaw where it's either like... I had sex with a million chicks, or I got married when I was 16.
I just think of the people that I know who just, there's not a lot going on. You know what I mean? I mean, like, people aren't very social, and I don't see them like doing a ton of hooking up, and that's a decent amount of people.
Oh, I have a friend who's older than me that's a friend, loosely a friend, that probably has had sex with two women in his life. And is not married.
And then there's the type of people who had girlfriends a lot, like always had girlfriends.
That's a shame.